Good morning, everyone, and good morning to those who are joining us by live stream and Relevant Radio. It's a joy to be with all of you this morning. I just want to give you a little heads up. I'm not going to do a homily this morning. I'm going to do a sermon. So get ready. It's going to take a little longer than usual, but you and I need to have a conversation about a lot that's going on these days. And I'm going to start with myself by saying this. My brother used to remind me when I'd get on my high horse, "You're nothing but a kindergarten dropout." What do you mean by that? When I was 4 years old, and I was probably a little too young, my mom and dad brought me to kindergarten, and I had a hard time with it. I really missed being away from my mother. And I remember going into the classroom, and there were all these kids I didn't know. And they had bright colored blocks and neat things to play with, but so did I. And I played with these blocks with my friends at home. And I thought, wow, why do I have to come here when I can do something with my friends and be a lot happier at home? Couldn't figure it out. Then, you know, it's little kids, there's bathroom problems, and it kind of smells, you know? Now, excuse me, I'm going to be kind of graphic here for a moment. So kids, block your ears because I'm going to be a little graphic. I went about a week and then I went to the teacher and said, "Teacher, if you think you're entertaining me," I didn't use that word, "but by playing with other kids in bright blocks, I can do that at home. And secondly, it stinks in here. There's too many poopy pads." I walked out of the classroom, I slammed the door behind me, and I never went back. And Mom and Dad never made me go back. Because Mom said, "I'm going to take you to the Catholic school," that was a public school, down the block, Sacred Heart Cathedral. They didn't have a kindergarten then. "I'm going to talk to the sisters and see what they say." So the sisters looked at me. They said, "He's not ready. He needs to be with his mom for another year." So I went to first grade at Sacred Heart Cathedral School in Dodge City, Kansas, and I was ready. And so sometimes we're not ready for the things that are thrown us in life, but we have to work our way through it, don't we? My dad, who had only an eighth grade education, my mom was a registered nurse, my dad said it was hard to get him into school. And now at my ordination, 20 years later, it's hard to get him out. So you see, what might start as a weakness can turn into a big deal. So my brother, who turned out to be an educator, said, pretty high talk for a kindergarten dropout. Life is interesting, isn't it? Mom was a nurse, a registered nurse. She was very committed. She treated it as a vocation, and she would give herself over and over, but we never felt cheated as her children because she loved us. Now, I know you're being burdened a lot with these masks that we are asked to wear. Some of you can't wear it because you have an illness, a respiratory challenge. I have that myself. I grew up with asthma. Sometimes I get scared and choked off a little bit, but I try to wear it when I'm real close to you or I'm in groups. I learned that the other day too. When I came home from the office when this thing first started, I pulled into the garage and there was my sister standing there. Carol is a principal. So there were rules at the office about masking, washing your hands, staying 6 feet apart. So I was trying to learn that. I come here, same thing that I've asked everybody to do. Father Brian and the team are doing it so well. I come home and there's my sister standing there. She's got rules for me. And God bless her, she puts up with her brother. And she says, "You got to take off your shoes, got to put on your house shoes, got to do this, this." I said, "Rules, rules, rules, I'm sick of rules." My four-year-old came out. You can laugh, it's okay to laugh in church. My four-year-old came out and I was fed up. Then I started to think, I could be putting my sister at risk. I could be putting people in the office at risk because I don't want to do it. Then I realized, oh, this is about charity. Now, I'm not judging any of you who are choosing not to wear a mask, except to say, sometimes when we point the finger at somebody else, we got three pointing right back at us. You have your reasons. Well, let's just be charitable. You make your own judgment. I'm not going to come and send the mask police on you or something. That's not what we're here for. We're here to worship God. I've also been struck by another thing since this whole COVID thing broke out. By the way, on a happy note, we had two ordinations to the priesthood here last week, one on Thursday afternoon, one on Friday afternoon. We have two new priests for the diocese that are going to serve, and they're starting in August. Let's give a hand to the Lord for that. Isn't that beautiful? You would be very proud of your priest because 8 of the priests from this diocese volunteered to go into hospitals and nursing homes when they were open. 8 of them. They were prepared with PPE, etc. Walked into rooms where the doctors and nurses were pouring themselves out to give somebody the last rites, the anointing of the sick, with a cotton swab. It's so bad they couldn't even bring their book in because the infection could get on there. They had to take that home and burn it. There are special precautions. Why are people demanding all this? Because this is a nasty illness. Now, I grant you that people are using it for political reasons. They're trying to hijack it for whatever reason. People are using this, but it's serious, and we need to be careful out of love for one another. You know what else happens? I am amazed at how many emails I get from people who know how to run the diocese much better than I do. It's incredible. You know, I've been through 20 years to prepare for priesthood of education. I've been a priest for 40 years and a bishop for 20, and they know a lot more than I do. Wow, why don't you come, let's have a visit, and you tell me what you want to tell me. They always know better. Everybody is an expert in everything and little knowledge in anything. So what one of you can stand up to a doctor or a nurse and compare your knowledge to theirs? I certainly can't. I'm a pastor. I'm not a politician. I love my people. I want to protect my people. I'm not a politician. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I recognize that. So I'm just asking you, be respectful. This guy wrote to me. He was hot. He had been on some kind of political web or something. He was hot. And he told me he was so worked up. He told me in his email, in large capital letters, "You are fired." You know what I said? I'm really glad I don't work for you. The second thing I said, "I am astounded by your pride and arrogance. Knock it off." I wrote mine in capital letters too. Right away an email came back, "I'm so sorry, it'll never happen again." And it hasn't. He and I are reconciled. I'm tired of getting pushed around. I go to hear and listen people after the sex abuse crisis that happened 50 years ago. People load all this guilt and stuff on me about priests I don't even know, or in one case, somebody high up in the Vatican. That's what really made him mad, and rightly so. We have to repent as a church. But brothers and sisters, I'm out in the field every year doing a healing service. Not too many people come now. They must feel they're taken care of. I've listened for hours to people's stories to help them heal. But you know what? Healing is a choice. You know what is the key to healing? Forgiveness. You gotta forgive the person that assailed you, that hurt you. If you don't, you're gonna be a slave to anger and hostility for your whole life. And you can come at me and say whatever you want. I know the dynamics. And without forgiveness, there's no healing. But you know what? It's hard to forgive. To err is human. To forgive is divine. If you're having trouble forgiving, get down on your knees and say, "Holy Spirit, I need your help. Jesus of mercy, I need your help. Help me to let go of this burden that I've been carrying so that finally I can receive your healing love and be healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Stop letting this stuff ruin your life." That one guy that did something to you 40 years ago is still keeping you imprisoned. Let go. Ask for healing. These demons are wrecking the world. The church needs to repent. Number 2, racism and how we treat immigrants who are already here. That's got to be healed. So we were moving toward that, and then the whole thing got hijacked. Hijacked by some special interest group that's not doesn't love this country at all. That's terrible. After people have fought in wars given their life's blood for this country, for religious freedom, for life. And that's the way we treat our legacy, throwing it over, just giving in to some group that wants to take over? No. This is not good, is it? You know it and I know it. This is not good. And what a better time for them to flourish when we're kind of limited by this stupid virus. We were just about to have some healing conversations with people of color, and then the whole thing got hijacked. Anti-police, anti-authority, anti-church, tear down statues, tear down saints, destruction. By the way, this sounds to me like the job description of the enemy. You know what his job description is? Lie, kill, steal, and destroy. That's Satan's, that's his playbook. Lie, kill, steal, and destroy. What is the Lord's playbook? Tell the truth, love people, build people up, protect life, and protect property. That's what God does. It's in his nature to be fluent, to see his people blessed. So, you know, the principalities and powers in heaven are having a big battle right now, and it's having effects here among us. But a lot of it is, we have to stand up however we can and be strong. Be strong. And have conversations. Do deep listening with one another. Help one another to heal. And by the way we treat our immigrants is very important. Most of the children of privilege don't want to do the jobs the immigrants come and do. So until you decide you want to do those jobs, stop complaining about immigrants. They're Catholics, most of them. We need to take care of them, to prize them, to value them, to let them know they're loved. I don't mean we have to open the gates of the border. That's not my thought at all. But when people are here, appreciate the beautiful garden of God that has so many different beautiful flowers in it. We need them all because God loves them all, and we should too. That's number two. Number three, now I'm gonna position this so that people don't take me wrong, and I know some of you will. There's a big one. And as soon as I say it, people are gonna go, ooh, I wish he wouldn't talk about that. I've had that reaction a lot. We're too nice here, you know? Don't upset the apple cart. Leave things alone. How's that working for you? And this is it. 65 million. 65 million. Remember, I'm not pointing at you. I'd have three fingers right back at myself. That's not the point. But as a country, we need to take ownership of our sins. Otherwise, we'll never heal. 65 million abortions since 1973. How can we expect God's blessings when we do away with our own children? Women caught in this vortex of having an unexpected pregnancy, outside of marriage, by the way. Marriage is thrown aside. We change the definition of marriage. You know, what do you have from that? Gender struggles, identity struggles. And I just have the question, how's it working for you? How is it working for you? Not very good. Lots of confusion. Who causes confusion? The other side, the darkness. Let's talk the truth, brothers and sisters, and let's walk into our healing by telling the truth, taking ownership by repentance, and let's ask for God's blessing again, and he will guide us, I guarantee you. But he won't if we're going to keep hiding from the truth and acknowledging our sins. My mom was a registered nurse. She served in World War II in Pearl Harbor, several years after the bombing. She saw it all. And she grew up in the sand hills of western Kansas during the terrible storms, the Dust Bowl. Did you ever hear of that? So did my dad. Those were tough people. If you can survive a Dust Bowl, you know what it means to be a real strong person. We need a lot more strong people. Young people, I'm putting the challenge to you. Don't wimp out. This is your opportunity. This is your war. Stand up and start being counted for Christ and for the truth and for God and the Ten Commandments, because we're counting on you. I'm getting old. I need to pass this on to somebody else. And the church needs to thrive and flourish by telling the truth. Now, some of you are already saying, I did that, I shouldn't have done that, or I participated in that. Don't do that. You're forgiven. Forget about it. As they say in New York, forget about it. You're forgiven. Don't walk that old territory. That's the devil at you again. I'm not asking that. That's not what this is about. This is about us as a country and as the Catholic Church in the country taking ownership, moving into repentance so we can heal. We're not of use much to God if we're not healed. We keep hiding stuff. Not going to work. Not going to work. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to heal us. How does He heal us? By listening to His Word, by studying His Word, by planting seeds of the truth and the Word in our culture. By the way, what does culture mean? It comes from the word cultus in Latin, which is the same word for worship. This country wants people to kick God out of their life. We're born for worship. God created us for worship in His own image and likeness. And if we don't worship God, we're going to be worshiping someone else or something else, and we're going to be in bigger and bigger trouble all the time. Nonsense. What does He do? Lies, steal, kills, and destroys. We see a lot of that all around us, don't we? Aren't you getting sick of it? I sure am. 68, sexual revolution. How's that working for you? I'm not proud of that at all. Pope Paul VI saw it in Humanae Vitae. He told us to avoid it because this is what it would produce. And we're sitting right in the middle of what he saw in his prayer in total destruction. It's going to kill us. You can't keep killing people. Every life is valuable. Every life is good. The more we speak the truth, plant seeds of the Word, and let Jesus deliver by not judging people, but by loving them and walking them into the truth together, the more that the Lord can win by the power of the Holy Spirit. We're dedicated to St. Joseph. Take a look up here above my head. That's St. Joseph. He never said a word. We don't have one recorded word of St. Joseph in the Gospel. But what a strong father he was to his foster son, Jesus. He spoke by example. Not by saying a lot of words like I am. He spoke by example. Men, stop running away from your responsibilities. All you guys sitting here, I know you don't. Stop running away. Be real men. Women, don't listen to the world. God has a dream for you that is so much better than what the world's given you. Way better. And you'll be happy, you'll be joyful, and you'll be loving life. That's the difference between darkness and light. There are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness. There's the kingdom of light, love, and peace. I want to work over here in the kingdom of light. I need you to help me do it, to change the culture into something that's what it's supposed to be, worshiping God, loving our neighbor. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,